Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who stretches out the heavens, who sends light to the nations, who gives breath to us all. Amen. And in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of heaven and earth, you come in close to make us yours. Equip us by your Spirit to confess our sin, embrace your forgiveness, and seek the way you set before us. In your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our will is handcuffed to sin, and we cannot break free. We have spoken when we should have kept quiet.
We were silent
when we should have said something.
We acted
when we knew better. We were still when we knew we should have moved. The wrong we have done, for the good we have failed to do. Have mercy on us, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. People of God, look to the Son, given to heal you and set you free. Because God loved the world so much, take hold of life, eternal life. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Let us pray. Holy God, through your Son, you have called us to live faithfully and act courageously. Keep us steadfast in your covenant of grace, and teach us the wisdom that comes only through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen.
Good morning. The first reading today comes from Exodus 20. Verses 1 through 17. God spoke all these words, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that it is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents, to the third and fourth generation of those who reject me, by showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work. You and your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Honor your father and your mother so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or male, or female slave, or ox, or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor." The word of God, the word of life.
The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky proclaims its maker's handiwork. One day it tells its tale to another, and one night imparts knowledge to another. Although they have no words or language, and their voices are not heard,
their sound has gone out to all lands, and their message to the ends of the world, where God has pitched
forth like a bridegroom out of his chamber. It rejoices like a champion to run its course.
It goes forth from the uttermost edge of the heavens and runs about to the end of it again. Nothing is hidden from its burning heat.
The teaching of the Lord is perfect and revives the soul. Nothing is sad. The testimony of the Lord is sure and gives wisdom to the simple.
The statutes of the Lord are just and rejoice the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear and gives light to the eyes.
The fear of the Lord is clean and endures forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether.
More to be desired are they than gold, more than much fine gold. Sweeter far than honey in the
them also is your servant enlightened, and keeping them there is in great reward.
Who can detect one's own offenses? Cleanse me from my secret faults.
Above all, keep your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not get dominion over me. Then shall I be whole and sound and innocent of a great offense.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength.
The second reading today comes from 1 Corinthians 1, verses 18 to 25. The message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided, through the foolishness of our proclamation, to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks desire wisdom. But we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel for today comes from John, the second chapter, beginning with the 13th verse. Glory to you, O Lord. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace. His disciples remembered what it was written. Zeal for your house will consume me. The Jews then said to him, what sign can you show us for doing this? Jesus answered them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. The Jews then said to him, this temple's been under construction for 46 years. You'll raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered what he had said, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Dear friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The theme for Lent and today is running on empty. And I'm sure none of you have ever had this problem before when driving, right? You've never seen that gas gauge, right? No, you've never seen it hitting the E, the light blinking, the sound blaring, the dashboard yelling, please feed me, hoping you can make it down that one more hill to that gas station to get gas. Well, our faith lives at times can also be like this too. We've heard it before that there are a lot of things that continue to go on in our lives that can take precedence over what can be really important in our faith. Whether that's all the things going on at work, school, what's going on at home, trying to keep the house perfect, trying to keep the family perfect, extracurriculars, our faith sometimes can be found at the side. It can be like when you're driving down the road and you just leave the garage without looking at the gas gauge. It can be like that. You are so busy, you forget to check what is most important in that moment. As a result, God can be in the back seat, and our own faith light suddenly has a low fuel light turned on. And through all that, doubt can creep into our lives. Exhaustion may creep in. Indifference may sneak in. Hopelessness might creep in. Questions of why is this happening may be all over your lives. And with all this, our faith running on empty, we might not be able to see what's ahead in our lives. We're like the leaders in today's gospel, relying on the marketplace, sacrifice to gain God's favor, relying on the law alone, relying on that to refuel us. We can't see the alternative. How is that possible, Jesus, that we've built this temple, it's been under construction, it's not done, it's been 46 years. How is there another way? How can you do this in 3 days? And I could talk about this on end, but I want to share another person's perspective on what running on empty can be like. And it comes from a blog post called Faith Runner, and it's by Nanette Kirsch, and it's called Running on Empty. And this is her story. So if you'd like, you can close your eyes for a little bit and just listen to her story about running on empty. And maybe you've been in this boat as well in your own lives, or put yourself in this story too. Thursday was a very busy day. I was going to stop for gas on my way to Bible study, but I was running late. I left Bible study early to make it to my weight training. On my way, the needle to my gas gauge bounced back to a quarter tank. The low fuel indicator light turned off for a little bit. So I decided the gauge had to be malfunctioning, and I had more gas left than I had ever imagined. The rest of the day was trying to cram in all the things that had to get done in a half a day, and I kept driving right past the gas station on my way to pick up my girls because I don't want to be late. Just one more trip. Just one more trip, I promised, and then I will refuel. Now, as I eased onto that exit ramp, I thought I had more gas than I had, and the dashboard lit up. My engine gasped, sputtered, and died. I coasted partway up the hill before gliding to the stop on the shoulder of the road. I was officially out of fuel. First, I tried the logical thing and bargained with God. If we can give me a miraculous infusion of gas, I can go straight up that hill to the station on the corner and never, ever let this happen again. And I'll tell everybody what you did. But silence and a failed attempt to turn over that engine, to start the engine, was the response. Watching the rain pour down around me, I wondered if perhaps there would be a good Samaritan that would stop and help me. But none of those that drove by even managed to slow down. Instead, they drove by, leaving mud on my windshield and windows, and I lamented the good old days when people would never ignore a damsel in distress. I texted my girls to let them know I'd be late, and they said they felt bad for me. I responded that it's my own fault. And I fought the frustration that was running beneath the surface. My husband was out of town. My son was at a lacrosse practice, trying to think of somebody, anybody, that could rescue me. But nobody came to mind. So I was either going to sit here all day, or I had to get out of the car and get moving. I looked to the nearest gas station on my GPS, and it was about a mile and a half away, on a busy, treacherous stretch of road. I resolved to be wet and miserable for the next hour, but I was suddenly grateful that I had chosen sneakers over the usual flip-flops in that moment, and had remembered the jacket. Offered a prayer of thanksgiving for those small, precious comforts, and opened the door on the way to my journey. My feet become drenched and cold in that first 10 minutes. Cars and trucks fly by again, hurling that wet muck. Finally, I reach the gas station, but unfortunately, they don't carry gas containers. Even worse, no one seemed moved by my plight. The customer in front of me was having trouble getting his own gas pump to work, but he told me in a heavily accented English that if I didn't mind waiting until he got his own issue resolved, he'd help with mine. Here, he said, finding a near-empty water bottle in the back of his car, he poured out the remaining contents and filled it with gas. This should be enough to get you up that hill. Get in, and I'll take you back to your car. I complied, hoping that he was indeed a good Samaritan and not some crazy serial killer. But at the moment, I was just grateful to be dry. The music in this car confirmed his accent. He was far from home, and I asked where he was from, and he said Kuwait. And as we talked on the short ride back to my car, he told me his daughter was graduating from pharmacy school the next day, but he'd be unable to attend because he could not trust his car to make it through the mountains. I felt sad for him, having to miss such a milestone, and was reminded that this was someone who had known hardship well beyond the threshold of my flimsy constitution. "I'll wait to see if your car starts," he said. "Then I'll follow you to the gas station to make sure you make it." I thanked him and told him I was sure it'd be fine. I poured the water bottle of gas into my tank, hoping that would be enough to bring the car back to life. But as I turned the key to the ignition, the dashboard barely fluttered. The battery had now died. But my Samaritan was in for more than he bargained, and I jokingly told him as much. "Do you have jumper cables?" he said, and he responded patiently, "I did." And he pulled his car beside mine and jumped my engine. At last, it sprang back to life. When we reached the gas station late in the day, we parted ways, and I had to thank him, and I thanked him and thanked him as we parted ways, my good Samaritan. Now, when our own faith is running on empty, I think we can feel a lot like Nanette did, hopeless, bargaining just to get to the top of the hill, wondering what can we do next. We sometimes get carried away with things like she does too, instead of our own faith. Things I mentioned earlier, God gets put on hold. That gauge continues to go down and down. All those things I mentioned earlier can lead to the feeling of running on empty. And when our faith is running on empty, when we're running on empty, no amount of sacrifice, no amount of money, no amount of bargaining, no amount of days can ever refill our faith. No amount of things we can do on our own, even when we try, will be enough. Instead, it's Christ alone, who had his temple, body destroyed, created that new way. In 3 days, he rose again from the dead. And he continues to be there in all those moments of our lives when we feel like we've been left alone. We're not alone. He's there. When we're walking up that long road, he's there. When we fill the tank with gas, but it just won't start without that spark, he's there. He's there picking us up, maybe even carrying us in ways we can't imagine. And sometimes through those around us, maybe like the Samaritan in the story for today. Running on empty. Running empty can feel like a lonely place. But Jesus is there with us in those moments, keeping us going when our faith is as small as a mustard seed, or as full as a cup of gas, or needing jumper cables. God is there. Christ is there. And like Mark in today's gospel said, when the disciples realized that there is another way, and the only way, through Christ, after he was raised from the dead, his disciples, and we too remember what he had said, that they and we believe the scripture and the word that Jesus had indeed spoken, that through Jesus, all things are indeed possible. Even if we're running on empty or full of faith, Jesus is always there and sticks through it all. Thanks be to God for being there when we're running on empty, or even when we're full. Amen.
We pray for the church. Lead us faithfully in the way of the cross. Unite us as one body in Christ. I will end each petition with, Lord, in your mercy. And the invited response is, hear our prayer. Father, we come to you through your Son, Jesus. We are here through your grace, seeking your truth and your way. We ask for your blessing on each and every one here, Lord. We seek your forgiveness, your love, and your promise of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy. Help us to live in love, bringing praise to you, Lord. Remind us to live as if you are coming tomorrow. Guide us to make peace with our neighbors, heal emotional wounds, refrain from gossip and judgment. Live in peace and love to bring honor to you. Lord, in your mercy. Father, we allow ourselves to run on empty sometimes. We run out of energy. We run out of money. We run out of time, and we run out of faith. Let us allow you to refuel us, refill us, renew us. We must lean on you for renewal and rest and for re-energizing. We need you to restore us. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the healing and comfort for those that are struggling with illness, grieving the loss of loved ones, or experiencing personal strife. We remember before you those folks that are printed in our bulletin. Please join me in reading those together. Lord, we lift up to you Rolf, Michaela, Norma, Ione, Mavis Ann, Anne, family of Joel, Rhonda, Evangelical Lutheran Church of the Magallanes, our missionaries Colin, Jenny, Josephine, and Amos. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for our nation and our leaders. We pray for peace. We pray for justice. And we pray for a nation and a world that honors and respects all people. We must take better care of the earth in which you have entrusted to us. And we must take better care of each other. Lord, in your mercy. Trusting in your covenant of mercy, O God, we lift our prayers to you through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Receive the blessing. May God, who has called us forth from the dust of the earth and claimed us as children of the light, strengthen you on your journey into life renewed. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you with grace and mercy, and the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Go in peace. Let Jesus refill your soul.
Thanks be to God.